glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves.
Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 24th, 2013. And I'm going to pull back the curtain again, Jason, because yesterday, actually during a radio spot to promote the program, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, where I talked about how we discern and choose and schedule the various music that you hear, especially on 89.3 FM, because I usually pick anywhere from 300 to 400 songs a day, wide variety, all different kinds of artists. But today I was laughing right before you were going to pray, and you got it right away. But last Friday, if you tuned in, you might got a kick out of the fact that on Fridays we go through the book of Acts. Typically, Jason or I will pray before the program. And if you were tuned in last Friday, Jason, I thought, had a wonderful prayer. I was tracking with it and thinking about the things he was saying. And so when we launched right into the program, I said, hey, clarify a couple things. You prayed about like transgressions, and you prayed about those that are leaping and those that are limping. And what did that mean in your prayer? And the whole program ended up being a conversation about those prayers. So Jason said afterwards, and we kind of laughed because we never got into the book of Acts. He said, from now on, you're going to pray on Fridays and I'll pray on the Wednesdays. And so this morning I just said to him, I didn't know if he would remember that, but I said, hey, why don't you pray before our program this morning? He started laughing because he instantly made the connection. Yeah, that's right. Because last Friday. So anyways, I'm always glad that you're here and available for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, and certainly the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And I'm looking forward to jumping back into the book of Acts. But before we share some of our life stories and what's going on, I want to do a little shout out for Barb Nichols. She was here volunteering, I think five and a half hours on Monday, going through an email list of like, I think it was up to 1,600 names with many redundant, repeated email addresses. She went through one at a time, deleting them. And yesterday I sent out an announcement about this special Israel celebration that's coming and highlighting two of the trips to Israel in 2014, and already getting some feedback and excited what God's going to do at this event, where we have a special Ministry of Tourism Council Director, Omer Eshel. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. E-S-H-E-L. He's going to come down from Chicago and help be a part of the celebration. You're going to give a devotional thought, and we're going to have food and fellowship and some music. I'm working on a special band, and I think it's going to be a great gathering for those that want to know about Israel, those that have gone to Israel, those that just want to learn more about the Holy Land and some of the biblical narrative. I'm sure God will put a message on your heart just to encourage us, to lead us to Jesus, and to talk about what we can anticipate if people attend in 2014 on the two trips. But I hope to have my neighbors out, some of my various friends and radio listeners. So we'll have more to say about that, but many of you might have gotten that in an email yesterday. Look for that. And it went out to everyone that's attended some of the radio events of recent, those that have been on past trips to Israel, those that have called in or said, tell me about upcoming trips in 2014. And so if you want to know a little more about that event, you can call the station, 217-367-7777. Now, I will point out, Karen is playing camp counselor all week long. I think she was in a cabin with 16 other teenagers or younger girls, so I don't think she's getting any sleep. And last I heard, I think on Tuesday, she texted me saying that she might be coming down with a cold. And I think she's overseeing like 15 teenage boys. I don't know how that all worked out. So she's earning her stripes, but faithful, helping out Pastor Andy. And I forget, I think it's the camp out in Clinton, Illinois. I'm not sure. But so all to say that the phones are all being forwarded here to the home studio. And so I'm doing my best to get back to all of you that leave messages or have questions. And we'll see how this week ends up, if, you know, I need to be committed to Nut House after this week. So anyways, appreciate Karen and her service to the Lord and helping Pastor Andy and serving these kids. I think she was going to lead a devotional thought. She had asked for prayer on Tuesday. I didn't hear how that all went, but thank you, God, for her. And, yeah, this Israel celebration is going to be August 24th. It's a Saturday. And so we'll have more to say about that in the coming days. So Oh, let's see.
I don't know if I should bring up your prayers this morning. I appreciate the things that you say. We always pray. I don't know how God works it, but I would hope that somehow, and I don't know, I can only share from personal experience, but there's been times I've laid in bed or I've been pondering a scripture verse, and you almost kind of like sense the presence of God, or you sense that people must be praying for you. I can't really explain it. You just feel maybe that tender touch of His, or a revealed truth that He cares for you. And sometimes I found myself thinking, I wonder if somebody's praying for me right now, or God's answering people's prayers, or somebody's interceding. And so I guess I share that because each and every time Jason and I gather, or for that matter, any special guests in the studio, we always pray for you, our listener. We pray that God will enlighten your minds to a truth that is maybe spoken, maybe something as God's word is divided and proclaimed, that they'll bring healthy, spirit-filled conviction that will lead you toward truth, lead you toward God, that'll maybe challenge you on presuppositions or things that you think about that you haven't really given over to the Lord, and maybe we bring it up in a conversation or a topic or talk about a very specific verse and some of the meaning, that you'll take it to heart and you'll say, gosh, I've never been taught that before. I never wrestled with that. And so we did pray for you this morning. And so I would hope that maybe you would sense God drawing you a little closer to Himself, or maybe you're going to be a little more attentive because something that's shared by Jason or through some of our programming hosts, or even maybe that inspirational song will draw you closer to Him. And so you'll feel His touch today. That's always our prayer, and that God's word will be proclaimed clearly and make a difference in your life.
Yeah, and that you would grow. You know, isn't it so funny that I was just watching an interview with a well-known pastor a couple days ago, and in this interview, somebody made mention, they said, well, 10 or so years ago, you used to be like this, and can you explain how you arrived at where you're at today? Communication style had subtly changed. Some of the things that he was using to share the gospel had changed. This was somebody, I think, 10 or so years ago was more anti-technology, and today much more open to it. And it was so funny, this pastor just said, well, shouldn't it always be our goal as Christians to grow? I mean, as God is watering us, and as we're changing and we're growing, as we're reading God's scriptures and things are being revealed and illuminated to us, wisdom's being given to us, shouldn't we grow? I mean, wouldn't me 10 years ago looking the same today be a sign of the fact that I'm not being watered, be the fact that I'm not being intentional in the things that I'm doing? I mean, as long as it's not sin, let's make sure we drive that stake in the ground there. As long as it's not sin and heresy, growth should be part of the Christian experience. That's a part of following Jesus. And Christians who I run across who tell me, I never have any worry, I never have any problems, I never have any of these things, I go, then you're probably not doing anything. Yeah. Because when you are, then things happen. It's really funny this morning, you know, really my devotional this morning, and it's so funny, God does this, and I think He does it because He knows it makes me crazy. And He doesn't do it because He wants to make me crazy. He does it because He knows that it's outside my comfort zone. But God likes to speak to me in the shower. Because you know what? In the shower, there's no pens, there's no papers, there's no markers, there's no whiteboards, there's no anything. There's no way to write anything down. So He'll speak to me.
Which
and say,
you love to do.
Which I love to do. I mean, when God gives me, I mean, I always have a notebook with me. I always have some sort of writing implement with me. When God speaks, I always like to capture it down and try and then ruminate on it and think about it. And what's God doing? You know, I put it in the pot and let it cook and see what God is doing. And so in the shower, it's like, Lord, I can't take this conversation down right now. I mean, it makes me crazy. And all the time I go like, okay, and I'll like grasp a hold of two or three points, main points, and then I'll keep trying to think about those while I'm, you know, sudsing up my hair. And it never fails that I'll get out and I'll, you know, toweling off, and I'll be like, what were those 3 points?
Yeah, yeah.
What were those 3 points? But this morning really just God – and I didn't even remember the scripture verse till I got out of the shower, and then I actually looked it up, but lost most of what the conversation was about. But in John chapter 6 and verse 60, it's a famous one. It's Jesus has this interaction with His disciples, and many leave.
Wait, John 6?
Beginning in verse 60.
60, wow.
Yeah. And so it says, on hearing this, many of His disciples said, this is hard teaching. Who can accept this? By the way, if you really study the Bible, if you really read the Bible, you'll say that a lot. You'll read it and you'll go like, this is hard teaching. Like, how do I do this? I mean, if you read a verse like speak the truth in love, and Mark and I talked about this. We had a few minute conversation before the show. if you really take that verse for what it is, that's a tough verse. It's tough to go to somebody and tell them the truth and speak the truth, but to do it in such a way where you honor them and you love them, you don't blindside them. You know, some of us say, well, that's just who I am. I just speak the truth. I mean, I just have to say what I feel. You know, oftentimes people miss the truth that you're trying to say because you just whacked them upside the head. You just rammed into them with your car. It's really tough to speak the truth in love. The Bible's a tough book to read. It should be tough because it matters. Anything that matters has a cost to it. Reading the Bible has a cost to it because it's tough. It matters. It changes your life. Not only does it change your life, but one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Acts 16:31, is that when you believe it, when you believe Jesus, it not only changes your life, but it changes the life of your family, your household, to get saved. You know, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, you and your household. That's why it matters so much when we share the gospel. But they hear this and they say, this is hard teaching. Who can accept this? And then it says, aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, by the way, Jesus always hears what you're saying, so just be wary of what you're saying. The disciples didn't get that
thinking.
Yet. Yeah, the disciples didn't get that yet. I mean, how many times, do a Google search, it's kind of a funny thing. How many times the disciples are talking and it says, and Jesus heard them talking. Like they were like thinking Jesus didn't hear them talking, and Jesus is like, I hear you.
Yeah.
You know, it says, does this offend you? You know, the Apostle Paul said later on that the gospel is offensive to those who are perishing. The gospel is offensive. It's hard teaching. What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. The Spirit is life. So funny that many of us, for whatever reason, maybe we're too scared of where things are on the right or where things are on the left, but we've abandoned the Spirit. Either we're on the left, we don't understand who he is. We're scared to even delve into him. We're on the right, and we're so off the rails with the Holy Spirit that we aren't biblically looking at who the Holy Spirit is. And we're not willing to find that very tenuous, tense place in the middle where we honor the Spirit, love the Spirit, know the Spirit through the Scriptures. But you know what? Here Jesus says the Spirit is life. And so if you're living out without the Holy Spirit, if you're trying to be ambivalent to the Holy Spirit because you're not sure where he is, I think that you're missing an opportunity to live life and life to the fullest. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. Wait, Jesus says, look at, Jesus is speaking to followers too, by the way. This isn't Jesus giving his sermon to seekers. These are followers. Jesus goes, by the way, there's some of you who don't believe here. There's some of you who aren't bought in. There's some of you who showed up, who came to the show and aren't willing to grow. There are some of you who don't get it yet.
Hey, I'm liking that sermon series. Wait, come to the show, but aren't willing to grow.
Aren't willing to grow. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. It says many. Some scholars believe up to about 3,000 people left him in this day. Some translations say about 3,000. A great multitude of people left Jesus that day. Listen to this, though. You don't want to leave too, do you? He asked the 12. Now, some of us say that Jesus is asking a question like, oh, not you guys. You guys won't leave. I don't think that's Jesus at all. But let's look at Jesus' character throughout the Bible. He's intentional. Jesus divides truth from falsehood. Jesus isn't going, oh, no, guys, don't go. Jesus is going, you guys want to leave? Here's your opportunity. I think he's saying that. Do you want to leave? I chose you. Do you want to leave? He's very intentional in this moment. I got to think that Jesus was making eye contact with him. And I've never made eye contact with Jesus, except for like a marble statue or a wooden figurine or something. I can't imagine what that would have been like, the piercing gaze of Jesus, like, do you too want to go?
And I like even just when you're saying the words, I chose you. He might have even just been affirming them, like, I believe in you. I believe you should stick it out because...
Yeah.
You can do it. I mean, it would have been interesting to see his facial, the nonverbals, but yeah.
And Peter, who, I'll tell you what, I've been teaching through the book of Acts at the church, And the last bunch of chapters, 10, 11, 12, are just Peter packed with Peter. In fact, the whole beginning, the whole first part of the Acts up to chapters 12 and 13 is just a Peter fest. I mean, it's all Peter. Peter and John, Peter, John, a little Stephen, a little Philip, but a lot of Peter. And I'm loving Peter. And for the journey, I've gone to Peter's letters and reread Peter's letters over and over again, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, to understand this preacher named Peter, this guy who had a chip on his shoulder, who's a lot like a lot of us. He had a little chip on his shoulder. He liked to run ahead. Sometimes he didn't get it. Sometimes he was a little impetuous, but he loved the Lord with his whole heart. He really did love the Lord. And some of us get really wrapped up. I think I talked about this last weekend during our service. They get really wrapped up on Peter's denials. You know, they go, well, Peter somehow, he's imperfect. Peter denied Christ. You know what? God knew that Peter was going to make those three denials. You know why he knew that? Because three is the number of perfection in the Bible. It's the number of the Trinity. God knew that Peter needed that perfect work of denial in his life. But God comes back, and for every denial, God gives him redemption. There's three redeeming moments at the end of the book of John for every one of those denials, because God knew that those denials needed to be the perfect work. It was the way God knocked the chip off of Peter's shoulder, because after that, he's a different kind of Peter. He's a Peter who stands for something and doesn't fall for anything. He gets up and speaks the words of Christ, and 3,000 people come to faith on that day of Pentecost.
And it gives us hope also, because God knew from the beginning that Peter would deny Christ and yet still chose him as a disciple. And it's like all of us, you know, when we fail and fall and miss the mark, none of that is a surprise to God. Yet when he called us to himself, when we asked Jesus into our heart, he knew the end from the beginning. He knew all the sins we'd commit from that point forward, and he still drew us, woo us to himself. It's kind of an incredible concept that even though you're going to mess up today, God still loves you. He has a plan for you. And if you've come into that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, none of your failures are going to ever be like, oh, wow, I didn't realize they were going to make that mistake later on in life. No surprises with
God. Exactly. And so it's Peter who stands up and he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? He says, who else is there? You have the words of eternal life. Mm. His words of eternal life. Jesus' words that we have today are his Bible, the words of Scripture. So when Peter says, you have the words of eternal life, they're put here on pages by the Holy Spirit through human authors. So you have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Holy One there is the word in Hebrew, kodash, which means set apart. You're the one who's been set apart by God. You're the Holy One. And through your being set apart, we've been set apart. But one of the things I loved, you know, I was thinking this morning and I was praying for a bunch of people who I know, pastors I know, and I know all kinds of pastors. And I had this really unique opportunity years ago when we were missionaries to churches to spend a year and a half in all different kinds of churches with all different kinds of pastors. But the predominant number of pastors that we spent our time with was pastors who pastored churches of about 80 to 100 people. Sometimes it was a little less, 30, 40, 50 people, but 80 to about 100, 150 people is the most of the churches that we pastored. And the thing that I would consistently hear over and over again from these pastors was this. They would say, these people left the church. I don't know what I'm going to do. Because when you only have 80 people and 3 or 4 people leave out of the church for whatever reason it is, it's a huge hole. I mean, you're up there preaching and it's 3 seats go empty and you're like, oh my, where are they? Where are they? And I was praying for them because, listen to me. There are those of you who believe, wrongly so, that numbers matter. There are those of you there who out there who believe that more equals better. The more people you have in church, the somehow better it is. You aren't concerned with how are they growing, how are they coming to know the Lord Jesus. You're not concerned with any of that. You just love seeing full seats. You love seeing a packed house. You love seeing everybody sing because they know those songs.
And that's just a tendency. We think bigger is a blessing of God.
Sure, we think bigger is a blessing. But here, Jesus gives a hard teaching. He brings people into the truth of God. He brings people into the words of God, the very meat and marrow of it, where people are going to scratch their heads and go, what? You mean the Bible says that? Think about culture right now. We have a lot of places in culture where people are scratching their head going, wait, the Bible says what? The Bible says this about this? I mean, I just don't know. But here, Jesus gives a hard teaching and many leave. And let me ask you this question. At any point in this text, does Jesus seem vexed about that? At any point in this text, does Jesus go, oh no, my mega church is falling apart? No. Jesus looks to the faithful and says, are you guys going to go? Because I'm proclaiming the truth. I can't give up proclaiming the truth. And you know what? These pastors that I know, churches 80 to 100 people every week, they're proclaiming the church. I don't know a lot of mega church pastors, a lot of those guys who write books and all that. I don't know a lot of those because we've interviewed some of them, but I don't know him. But you know what? The most faithful people I know of God are these pastors who are like 30, 40, 50, 100 people in their church. They're the most faithful people I know of God. They're on their knees praying for you right now, probably. They're crafting a sermon to try and bring you towards the truth, an uncomfortable and hard truth sometimes. And like Jesus, they're going, are you going to leave too? I mean, it's tough. It's really tough. And it was just this, you know, again, like I said, this devotional that I had this morning where God was speaking to me. And, you know, I would just say this. I actually wrote it down, so I'm going to read from something I wrote down. I said, celebrate large numbers, because large numbers of people who are coming and growing in Jesus matter. Don't celebrate large numbers for numbers' sake, because those are just people attending the show with no desire or challenge to grow. Celebrate the name of Jesus that's being sown deeply in the hearts of people, whether it's 3 people, 6 people, 80 people, 150 people, or 3,000 people. Because Jesus, in this text here in the Bible, he ignores the self-centered, self-serving concerns of numbers for the sake of numbers. And he clings to the truth that God is sovereign, and that hard truths delivered with grace will still be hard for many, and many might leave. And I would ask you this question. If they left, were they really truly there in the first place? And if they weren't truly there in the first place, those of us who are following Christ need to check ourselves and say, how could we have met them better and differently? How could we have met them with the words of Christ and the ways of Christ? How could we have helped them to grow? That should be a challenge to every single one of us who are Christians. How can we step across the divide in that uncomfortable place and grab a hold of people who are kind of wavering in the wind and who are not growing? And how can we help them to, I don't know, sometimes I think just brush away the seedlings so that the sun can come in and God can water them.
I just wrote down the name of today's program that I'll put as the link so people that want to listen to it on our archive program link. It's going to be called Listen to the Show as We Pray You'll Grow. But, you know, I don't like the word show because, you know, show to me portrays like a show, you know, I don't know that. So I don't know. That's why I always like to call it a morning program or something, because it's not like a show, because a show is show business and it's a lot of superficial stuff. And so we would pray that as we talk about God's word that
I think the Bible says that show means to reveal.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I just have a hang up with that word.
Sure.
To me, it's just it's such a
negative
word.
It's where the culture
word.
Is dive bombed yet again.
Yeah.
Something truth.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. We got to go. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.